Chapter 3, verse 1 of the book of Amos. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Here God is saying to the nation of Israel, you have been very special to me. I've chosen you, not because you're better than any other people. In fact, as God said of them, you're stiff-necked and hard of heart. But I've chosen you, and I'm going to use you if you will hear my voice and honor those things that I will give unto you, which, of course, was the Ten Commandments. And they agreed, oh, God, yes, we'll honor those commandments. And so God says, okay, then you will be the nation that I will use to enlighten the other nation with this truth, with these virtues that are found in that word. But they didn't live up to it. And that's what God is saying here. I brought you together for that good, and you haven't learned. For only you have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, because of your disobedience, I will punish you for all of your iniquities. And then verse 3, which is what we're going to look at today. Here's our text for the day. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Now, what is God's requirement for a person to walk with him? Well, Micah gives us the answer over in his prophecy in chapter 6, verse 8, and he says this, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? In other words, I'm not asking you to do something that's impossible. I'm just asking you to walk humbly, love mercy, and do justice. In other words, do the right thing. Isn't that a reasonable thing to expect of any people? And so Amos asks the question then, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Well, what's he talking about? Be agreed about what? About those things. If we can't agree on those virtues, humility, mercy, and justice, how can we walk together? Rotherham, in his translation, renders it this way. Can two walk together unless they make an appointment to meet? Now, I want you to remember that phrase, appointment to meet, because we're going to come to it later in study. It's very important to remember those exact words, appointment to meet. Then James Moffat renders it this way, do two travel together unless they have planned it? Now, together, taking those three things together, it reveals that communion between two people means, and it proves, agreement. That's basically what he's saying. In other words, if you see two people walking down the street, talking together, smiling, laughing, enjoying each other's presence, you know that in all probability, they're in agreement. They're enjoying each other. Two people walking together prove that they've agreed to meet somewhere right? They had to meet somewhere in order to get together to walk. They had to agree and plan, you know, let's meet at the drugstore, or let's meet in front of your house. We're going to meet somewhere. Now that brings me to our two main thoughts for today. How can a person walk with God? How can we walk with God? Well, I started to get into this study many years ago, as Jerry rightly calls, but I didn't do this until the day before yesterday. And I went to the concordance, and I wonder what the word, how many times the word walk is used in the Bible, and how it's used. And probably I didn't count them, but I guess there's about 100 times the word walk is used in the Bible. But I didn't want to write down all the words. But I only used it and wrote it down when it talked about relationship to God. Listen to this. Genesis 17:1 now. I'm not going to talk about our text anywhere. Genesis 17:1. Walk before me, God says, and be thou perfect. What he meant by perfect, you remember he said of Noah, he was perfect in his generations. That is, you're not sinless. Remember the three things? Humbly, mercifully, and justly. That's what God considers perfect for us as Christians, if we walk those ways with God. Exodus 16:4, walk in my law. Deuteronomy 13:4, walk after the Lord your God. Joshua 22:5, walk in all of his way and keep his commandments. 1 Kings 2:4, walk before me in truth. Notice the importance of truth. Isaiah 2:5, walk in the light of the Lord. Walk in the light. Jeremiah 23:14, you commit adultery and walk in lies. So you can walk in lies. John 8:12, come to me and ye shall not walk in darkness. I don't want you to walk in darkness. Romans 6:4, walk in newness of life. Romans 8:4, walk not after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk by faith and not by sight. Galatians 5:25, walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love. Notice, walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, walk worthy of God. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. 3 John 4, walk in the truth. Revelation 3:4. Now mind you, here's how he summarizes it. Take all of these things I just read to you and now put it in the light of this truth. Revelation 3:4. We shall walk with Jesus in white. We shall walk with Jesus in white. Walk in the Spirit. Walk by faith. Walk in this. Walk, walk, walk. If you keep on walking with God, walk, walk, walk. He said finally, like Enoch walked. Well, we talk about him later as we start. But you find what he walked and whoop, he ended up with God, and we're going to walk, walk, walk with God, and one day we're going to be walking in white. And finally, Revelation 21:24, we shall walk in the light of the Lamb. For the Bible says the light of the heaven is the Lamb is the light. Mm-hmm. Now that's a lot of walking. Walk. Now we move on. To begin our study and discover the answer, we turn to Genesis 5:22, which says this: Enoch walked with God. And here this phrase, walk with God, emerges into the light of all of these walks. All of these walks begin right here with Enoch. He walked with God, and he what? Was not, for God took him. Noah, Genesis 6:9. Noah walked with God. And where did that walk end with him? God says, listen, I'm going to destroy this whole race. None of them. They're all wicked. I want you to take your family, and you're going to take 120 years. You're going to build an ark to save what's left of the decency of the race. I'm going to start all over again. And he did. And he started with Noah and his family. Genesis 6:9. Noah walked with God, and because he did, God used him to save the race. Walking with God includes walking according to his commands, as we see here. And if we read the letters of the Apostle Paul, which I gave you just a few here, we find he constantly talks, walk in the light, walk in the Spirit, walk after God. Walking indicates life, volition, effort, direction. You know, take it, there is no walking unless you're alive. You can't walk when you're dead. You can't walk unless you have volition, unless you choose to walk. You know, you can sit at home in your chair and say, walking. I don't want to walk. It's too tiring. I'm just going to sit here and watch TV. Walking not only includes volition, but it includes effort. You know, it takes effort to walk. Doctors say that the simplest form of exercise, one of the most healthy, is walking. And walking includes direction. You're usually going somewhere when you walk. Now, you may say when you start out, I'm not going to Mildred's Cafe, but you may just say, well, I'm going to take a walk around the block. But at least you know you're going somewhere. But then the Bible says, they walk together. Literally translated, that word together, how can two walk together? That Hebrew word means to become a unit. And as I reflected on that, that really became heavy. How can they unite as one unless, he said, unless they're agreed? You've got to agree on the matter. These two persons, we're told, are to walk together as one. How can that be? The conception of Amos is that of God and man moving through life together. How did God ultimately accomplish that? 2 Corinthians 6:16. Read that, would you, Dad?
And what agreement with the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
He's going to walk in them. There's the agreement. I'm going to take up habitation. if you'll walk with me, and if we can agree about this, if you will do something that we can agree on, we're going to walk in perfect time and in rhythm together, one life, the life of God in man, lived through man to the glory of God. That's what God's objective is, the life of God lived out through the man's kind. We're you to be united in that effort, putting forth the energy, accomplishing the goal of eternity that God has for humanity. And if we're walking with God, we're willing to do His will and then to do His bidding. And what is that? To just bear witness for Jesus. That's it. To be His witness. I had fun this morning while the gal that's wrapping my legs is a Jew. And she had always been kind of a hard lady to reach. And I never know how to start with her. It's always kind of she's funny. I mean, not ha-ha funny, just funny kind of woman. It's real thin, single, never been married, got a dog and has no interest in being married, and, you know, specializes in this. She's a nurse, and it's a strange cat, is the way I put it. Cat who loves dogs. And so I, how am I going to reach this lady? So I just started talking about my love for the Jew. Oh, I started out, I said, you know what I'm teaching in my lesson today? She says, no. I said, I'm teaching from a Jewish book of the Bible, a book of Amos. And I said, you know what that's about? No. I said, do you read it? Oh, no. I said, well, he's talking about the nation of Israel. Do you realize that God gave the nation of Israel? He calls them His chosen people. God chose the Jew to be the witness and the light to the nations. And they disobeyed. And earlier I talked about their 480 years because we talked about the Passover. And I said they disobeyed. And they paid a price. And I said, here now am I, a Gentile, talking to you, a Jew, about God. I said, isn't that strange? That God meant the Jew to tell the Gentile about God. So she just sat very silently on the floor. Because then I got into how people hate one another, how people hate the Jew. And I said, when 1954, when Jesus Christ came into my life at 11 o'clock at night, I had a lot of hatred toward a lot of people in me. But I said, that night when Jesus Christ came into my life, I love people now. I don't care what they are, who they are. I just want them to know the living God and whoever. So I just left it at that. So she left. Of course, Pastor Morris was coming to get me, and we were running short on time. So the Holy Spirit gives you something when you're dependent upon Him, doesn't He? You never know where you're going to go. But when two walk together, now, I didn't plan that. That had to be from the Spirit, right? God's Holy Spirit. I'm not that smart. And the Spirit of God had to just bring it out of me to be able to bring that to that precious Jewish lady. And she is precious. Strange. But we're all strange. I mean, Probably a lot of people think I'm strange cat too. You know, we're all got our own special ways.
If somebody says I'm strange, I say thank you.
Thank you, yeah. That makes us of God, doesn't it? Our strangeness, our uniqueness, really. When I say the word strange, probably what I should say is she's unique, I'm unique, you're unique, you know. But let me be rather common, but I don't mean to be respectful toward God, but simply to put it this way. This means putting God and man, pooling our resources. God giving his resources to me, and my giving my resources to him. Now you say, what do you have to give God? All we have to give God is a body, right? Pastor Morris, if you read Romans 12:1.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
There you go. Presenting your body to God. That's what you can put at God's disposal. And then his resources, when he gives himself, that's everything you'll ever need.
Amen.
God and man having fellowship. Think of that. Fellowship in effort. And that takes all the effort. Somebody says, how in the world should I witness? Well, here, bow your head and say, Holy Spirit of God, take this, speak through it. That's all. Now, blessed Lord, just open my mouth, and I just want you to guide me and just speak through me and say what needs to be said, because you know that soul's need. I don't. And God will just give you some word. You may think it's goofy. Oh my, I messed up on that. That may be just what that gal needed. Or man needed. Who knows?
Can I repeat
something?
Yeah. My brother and I were talking, and he says, keep in mind how blind we were. Okay? And I thought this was very interesting. He says, he witnessed to a friend of his, this was years ago, and this is what the unsaved think. Give you an idea of where they're coming from. When we're witnessing to them, the guy says to him, Mike, he says, I hear what you're saying, but I don't understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Sure.
We hear. They hear. We didn't, until the Holy Spirit touches you, we will not understand. Right?
And it may not be for but a time later.
Right.
When that'll happen. Yeah. Maybe he's just sowing the seed.
Yes.
Somebody will come along later. Dave Breeze used to have what he called destiny. And he believed that, let's say you had a jeweler that you wanted to win to Christ. Ted would go in and share the gospel with the guy. 2 weeks later, I would go in, I'd follow up on him and share something. 2 weeks later, Priscilla would go in. Pretty soon that guy would say what? Somebody's trying to talk to me. No.
What did they say? It takes seven people to bring in one soul, mostly. Yeah. Seven times they have to hear.
Well, Dave only had about recommended about three times, but he felt by about the third time that different person came in, not saying the same thing, but in their way, sharing the same message, that person's going to say, somebody's trying to talk to me. Study, the statement of Amos suggests mutual humility, doesn't it? The humility of God is evident in that what he became. And then the thought of him accommodating himself to the limitations of my body. Right? That he would live in me with all my limitations. I mean, think of me as I am now. For God to be willing to use me, beat up and weakened as I am. The humility of man is necessary because we could never hope to keep pace with God, ever. Walk humbly, the scripture says, with thy God because the Lord Jesus was humble. He humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. God and man walking together. God stooping, humbling himself, accommodating himself, and walking with man along the pathway of life. There also must be agreement between the two. The Hebrew word, and remember I told you that word about appointment? Do you realize that Hebrew word there means an agreement between the two? Agreement between the two. And it means to fix upon by appointment. That's exactly what the Hebrew word means. To fix upon by appointment. And that's why Rotherham says, can and two walk together unless they meet by appointment? To illustrate, we agreed to meet here by 1:30 for fellowship and 2 o'clock for Bible study. That's what we agreed by appointment. And then in that agreement, we agree to the fact of meeting at that time and place, right here. And this is what we've done. The same word used, and think of this, that same word is used in the sense of a legal summons. I didn't realize that. A judge meeting at an appointed place with a person because he summoned them to appear before him. That same word is used when a judge issued a summons in that time. The same word is used and translated in some places for betrothed, when you were betrothed in a marriage. This word together is used for betrothed in a marriage. Within it lies the whole idea of a mutual commitment, and in every case, love and respect for the person. All three of these ideas are incorporated into this word agreement, as Amos used it. So it refers to a time and place where God and man meet. Do you have a time and place when you and God meet together? It includes that summons, you know. Come before the judge. Ultimately, it refers to your lover. You're coming to one who you're going to be married to at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's coming, isn't it? And when Amos asked this question, it wasn't a surface question. It posed a difficulty. How can God and man get together? Can two walk together unless they're agreed? Mutually, man is not in affinity with God by nature. He's born in sin. So what's the method by which we get back to place where you're in fellowship with God? Well, I don't have to explain a lot to you. We come to terms with God when we come to the cross. And when we use that phrase, come to the cross, we know what we mean. We did that that moment when we received Christ as our Savior. We say that we came to the cross that night where he died in our place. And as a Christian, when we're not close or we're not in fellowship or we're not, we've gotten slightly away in any cold or lethargic or whatever, we come back to the cross. At the cross, it's there I saw the light. Well, you say, well, how do I get to the cross? Well, you just bow your head and come to Jesus just as you are. Like the poet, we cry out to the Lord this poem. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling.
Amen.
Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Remember our text. There is no walking with God unless we're in agreement. Unless we have a meeting place where we meet with him, talk with him. I try to do that in my chair at night. I used to do a lot of walking, and I plan to do that again as God heals my legs and my feet. I really miss walking. I really do. Going outside. If I go outside now, I got to go on that big walker. You know, I do walk around the circle in that thing and try to do some praying, but you can't do a lot of concentrate. I got to concentrate on walking more praying. If I fall over, doesn't do much good to pray if you're going to fall over. That's So I do most of my praying in my chair now. Oh, I'm so glad the Lord is who he is and what he is and as patient as he is. Blessed be the name. Oh, Holy Spirit of God. Pearlie, would you close us in prayer today?